Welcome back to this second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning, and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
Welcome to hour number two of Leading Edge Medicine. Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon and your phone calls. We're taking those at 206-421-5757. You had just a quick last few comments on
So, you know, what it really comes down to is probably the doses we're using are on the modest side. Probably once we get all of our markers and so on settled in, we'll be using somewhat higher doses than we are right now. I'm using personally a higher dose than I use for my patients. And once more, the reasoning is just as I said before.
You had some side effects.
Well, yeah, but the reason that I push my own is, again, if I do something stupid and hurt me, I don't get sued. If I do something stupid and hurt a patient, that's a different issue.
That's a different thing, yes.
So we are more conservative with our patients than I am with myself.
All right. Okay.
But, you know, we'll keep looking. I know there's a lot of people interested, a lot of research being done. And hopefully a few years from now, we'll have a lot better answers than we do.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Mixon. It's one of those things that we started hearing a little bit about a few years ago, and now we're hearing a lot, and it's important. Those senescent
cells. What's interesting is I go to meetings and I talk to doctors around the planet. Essentially, every doctor on Earth that is doing research on longevity has put themselves on rapamycin. Which tells me something.
It does.
So,
right. All right, Dr. Mixon, you ready for another phone call?
Yep.
This one is from Bellevue. We have Sandra on the line. Welcome to the show, Sandra.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question, I have a long history of high cholesterol, and my body cannot tolerate statins.
Okay.
So they recommended that I go on Repatha, which, of course, are the injections you do every 2 weeks.
Right.
But I started reading and doing a lot of research, and I haven't done any of the injections. So I'm not on a statin. I haven't done the injections. What is your opinion of Repatha?
Well, Repatha is an interesting new approach. It's a monoclonal antibody. It basically inhibits the metabolic mechanism that allows you to make a lot of cholesterol. The side effects are not much different than the statins for most people. You know, runny nose, sore throat, flu-like symptoms, back pain.
My worst thing was just body aches and pains, and I even tried to move in the night when I was sleeping.
The back pain and those flu-like, everything aches, and I'm just miserable sort of symptoms. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Did they put you on a big whack of coenzyme Q10 when you were on the statin?
No.
Okay, because a lot of times, CoQ10 will alleviate the symptoms of the statins. So a fair number of people that initially don't tolerate it, if we'll put them on 300 or 400 milligrams of CoQ10 a day, they tolerate the statin much better.
Oh,
So if you decide to not do the Repatha, you might go back and try that. Go on the about 400 milligrams a day of CoQ10 for a couple of weeks, and then try the low dose statins and work it back up and see how you do. That would be one possibility. But most people don't have bad side effects with Repatha. You know, there are people that have horrible side effects, but most don't. So the side effect profile for the vast majority of people is relatively modest. Runny nose, maybe a little achy here and there.
If I took the CoQ10 while doing these injections, possibly I would have the same result as
if
I were in statin.
I know for sure that the statins lower CoQ10, and the drop in CoQ10 is part of the reasons that people get muscle aches and fuzzy headed issues on the statins. So giving them back the CoQ10 or even loading them with it before the statin seems to help that. I don't know if Repatha has that effect on coenzyme Q10 or not.
I see.
So here I'm going to have to plead ignorance.
I had called a couple of weeks ago, but we were at the end of the show. You did mention that there was a blood test through the clinic that possibly if you were not a patient, that you could check anything that I might be at risk for?
We do, yeah. Well, what we do is we do a rather extensive blood workup to people that are considering becoming clinic patients. It's about $600. It's $595. And it's usually about a 70-page printout that looks at most of your risk factors, your hormone balancing, your inflammation, your genetic risks for dementia, all sorts of stuff. And then you sit down with one of my doctors for an hour, and they go over all of your lab and all of your history and basically give you the option, you know, here's where you are. Here's what we think it would take to get you where you ought to be. And then you get to decide if you want to be a patient or not. So, yes, we do that test before you become a patient, and then you get to decide, okay, I want to get it fixed, or, you know, I'm happy with where I'm going now.
I see. All right. Well, thank you very much. I definitely will do that.
Okay.
And I so appreciate you. I actually have followed you from the early days when you were having your little meetings in your Kirkland office.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah. I was just a baby then.
Absolutely.
A baby.
Well, hell, I was just a kid myself.
Oh.
But, yeah.
All
well,
right.
Sandra.
Well, thank you very much.
Sandra, stay tuned. Keep listening as soon as we're done with you on the phone with your question, because we have something that is happening in Bellevue for you where you can see Dr. Mixon again. Yeah, we're going to talk about that next.
That's right. So
stay there.
We'll chat with you in a bit.
Thank you for that, Sandra. James, right. We'll get to your call in just a moment. But Dr. Mixon, it's in the works. We have a month. We think we have a date a big event happening with you.
Yeah, I don't. Big event may be a bit of an overstatement.
I think it's an event. We haven't done it in a while.
Yeah, we're going to do a seminar. We have not done seminars in years.
Live seminar
and,
with you.
Yeah, and we're looking at just doing maybe a couple a year. But, you know, there's been a lot of changes. Way back in the 90s when I started the clinic, we were fairly limited in what we knew about the aging process, but we were doing more than anybody else was doing, so we were still way ahead of the curve.
Yep.
But over the decades, we have gotten better and better at what we do, and there's a lot of new stuff like the rapamycin, the dasatinib, the quercetin, the things we now know that can be done about the aging process. And so we're going to hold a seminar. We're going to invite a whole lot of folk, because I'm going to have a film crew there. We're going to make it into a movie, essentially, about an hour and a half seminar. And then we're going to put that on our website for people who would like to see a longevity seminar. They'll be able to do it virtually without actually having to go to one in real life. So this is going to be filmed and used as, you know, as a marketing thing in the future. But yeah, so anybody that would like to come, we'd love to have you, you know, and I am going to be there a few hours early with my book, and we'll be doing book signings for folks that want to buy a book. And, you know, that's just it.
It'll be a great opportunity.
Yeah, it'll be a Saturday afternoon. We're thinking the 9th of November. And the reason I have to say we're thinking the 9th of November is the film crew that's going to be doing the filming has a job in Europe, I think in Sweden.
Yeah, wow.
And so they're going to let me know on Monday whether they're going to have to push us out a little bit.
Okay.
So, but if they can make it and if we can get the filming done, we will be doing this on November 9th. It'll be in Bellevue. We'll be getting a big hotel ballroom and we'll make this work.
I love it. And our listeners, as well as longevity patients from all the clinics and anybody that would like to, that is interested in healthy aging, longevity, this would be a great opportunity for you to meet Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon and we'll give you more details once that's confirmed. All right. Let's take a quick break here in just a moment, Dr. Mixon. And there's something happening at all the clinics next weekend.
Next week.
It's the gallery test. And we will tell you about that in just a moment, as well as talk with James. James, you stay on the line. And here's the number to get through. We have room for your phone calls and your questions as well. Here's the number. It's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. Sweet Caroline.
And we're back. It's Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette, along with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and Dr. Umat has the weekend off. We're taking your calls at 206-421-5757, and we have another gallery test coming up. We'll give you the details in just a moment, so stay for that. Right now, let's go to James in Bellevue. James, welcome to the show. Thank you for calling.
Hello, James.
Yes, good morning. My question has to do with atrial fibrillation. My person of interest is my wife, and she's 81 years of age. And this has been now maybe a month or 2 months or so. She seems pretty steady in that condition. So what is what's known about the ways of getting back to the normal sinus rhythm?
All right. So two different issues. One is treatment of atrial fibrillation, and the other is getting back into sinus rhythm. The longer she's been in atrial fibrillation, the less chance that they can get her back permanently into sinus. That's the unfortunate fact. So people that go into it and it's early diagnosed early and treated early, we can often simply do things like a relatively low voltage cardioversion, shock them back into sinus, and they may stay in sinus for years at a time. People that have been in fib for a long time, that's not as effective. There are medications we can use to treat the disease, that is to prevent the blood clots and the pulmonary embolism and the strokes that can be associated with it, or that can slow down the heart rate if it's too fast and so on. But most of the time, the medications are not all that great at converting them to a sinus rhythm again. The most effective therapy for sinus rhythm is something along the lines of a maze procedure where they go in to the atrium with a electric current wave generator and basically cook a almost a checkerboard pattern on the inside of the atria to disrupt the fibrillation, disrupt the abnormal electrical impulses flowing through the lining or the wall of the atria. So that Mays procedure or one of the variants of it is really pretty good. It falls under the category of an ablation procedure. They're basically trying to ablate or destroy the aberrant electrical conducting pathways that are occurring in the atria. So, but that's something that, you know, you need to get evaluated by an electrophysiologist. They do a lot of detailed studies on the electrical pathways that are going on in the heart before they decide what they can do to interrupt those and kind of force her back into sinus.
Okay. The one other thing that we've heard about in kind of from the naturopathic side of the medical profession is something they called a magnesium push to raise the magnesium level in the system.
Yeah.
And I heard from one doctor that they had about a 40 to 45% success rate with that.
Okay. I'm not sure what the success rate with magnesium pushes are. I know this was done, golly, 20-some years ago, and it's far more common in the naturopathic community than in the MD community. I don't know of any cardiologists that are using this kind of magnesium salts to try to convert. Basically, what happens is magnesium and potassium both can cause the heart muscle to simply relax and stop beating for a moment, and then it takes back on. It's kind of a chemical version of the electrocardioversion, where you shock the heart, you depolarize the whole thing, you make it pause for a moment, and then let it restart and reset itself. The magnesium push is pretty much the same sort of thing. You're using magnesium that is a very potent muscle relaxer, and the heart being a muscle, that a sudden big bolus of magnesium caused the heart to kind of stop for a moment. And then as the magnesium clears out, the heart is allowed to restart and reset itself and hopefully go back into sinus rhythm. I don't know anybody doing it these days, but there may, you know, clearly you've come across someone that that knows more about that than I do. So I guess I defer to the more conventional allopathic cardiologists on these things.
Okay. Thank you very much. I wanted to find out whether you had, well, you just need this vitamin, you know, something like that, something easy, but
that
I guess
it's
not
nice.
There yet.
Now, my mother had atrial fibrillation, and we went through this with her. And so I chased this down with cardiologists and electrophysiologists, and we opted not to do a maze on her. She had apparently been in fibrillation off and on for years and years and years. And she was in her late 80s, and they just said, you know, let's control the rate with the medications, and she did well. So, you know, once more, this is a specialized field that I defer to the cardiologist and electrophysiologist on.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Super.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you for the call, James. We're headed to Kirkland now. Stephen has a question for you, Dr. Mixon, and this might be something close to your hip. Hi, Stephen. Right. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Stephen.
Hello. Thank you. Yeah, I just had a question. Is there any alternative to actually having go and get surgery for a hip replacement?
Yes. But it depends. It depends on how bad the disease is and how much damage has been done and how good your personal stem cell supply is. let me give you a little insight into my own journey. That's why she
yes,
was saying this.
I was like, okay, Dr. Mixon will know this.
20 some years ago, I was glacier skiing up in Canada, and I did a stupid thing. I was skiing like a bat out of hell down the mountain while looking back up behind me to see if anyone was catching me.
Uh-oh.
And I hit the ice. I hit the ice at very high speed. Thou shalt not ski down the mountain while looking up the mountain.
No.
And I did a subcapital fracture. I broke that ball at the top of the hip right off the femur. Mm-hmm. And the problem with that particular fracture is they go back in and they put three screws in to hold it in place while it heals. But while that ball is off and disjointed, you've disrupted the blood supply. And there's a high incidence of having part of that bone, that head of the femur, die. And indeed, that happened to me. I had part of that round ball was no longer round because part of it had died and become necrotic. And so over the next 20 years or so, that irregularly shaped head was rubbing in the hip, triggering some real arthritic changes and kind of scrubbing away my cartilage pad. And so I saw Dan Nelson about it. Dan took stem cells out of my pelvis in my iliac crest and injected stem cells and PRP into the hip. And over the course of the next several months, it healed significantly. My pain was down about 80%, but didn't clear completely. Still, an 80% reduction in pain was help because I had reached the point I could barely get upstairs without significant pain.
Exactly.
And so I went back in about 6 months after the first injection and did it a second time. So I had two stem cells out of my iliac crest into my hip, and it totally resolved. I have no pain, no disability whatsoever left in that hip. I was able to regrow enough cartilage that everything is now functioning quite well.
Very nice.
You know, so at least in my case, I was able to preserve my original hip. There's still some irregularity to the head of the femur. It didn't regrow all the bone back to its original shape. So I expect sooner or later I'll scrub away that that cartilage. But this time I know that if I need to, I'll go back and get my stem cell injection a lot earlier. I won't wait till I'm quite as miserable as I was.
Mm. Do you have his phone number?
We do indeed.
Yes, we do. The number for Dr. Dan Nelson and his amazing staff at Pro Ortho is, let's get this number here. It's on this piece of paper. All right. Dr. Nelson is 425-823-4000.
425-823-4000.
And that's Dr. Nelson, Dr. Dan Nelson at Pro Ortho. You can also go to his website. You're going to get a lot of information there. DanielNelsonMD.com. So that's DanielNelsonMD.com. And we have him on the show quite often. So
he's on the show about once a month on average.
And we like to get
that way you can call in and chat with him yourself and see what he has to say. Yeah, I had Dan.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, my wife has reminded me from time to time that I'm often living proof. You don't have to be smart to be a doctor because I do dumb stuff. And
you are a risk taker, doctor.
Well,
Adrenaline junkie.
Yes, well, in this next case, I was just trying to reboot my phone.
Oops. I tried.
Yeah, I was walking across the parking garage trying to reboot my phone, and I had to type in the code. So I was looking at my phone instead of where I was walking.
Uh-oh.
And I tripped over a curb and fell right shoulder first on the pavement.
Oh.
And tore three of the ligaments in my shoulder. God almighty, that hurt. I was miserable. But once more, Dan gave that about a month to cool off the swelling and the bleeding. And then he went in and injected stem cells into each of those ligaments. Once more, they were my own stem cells, took them out of my bone, and totally healed that. And now I can do 70 push-ups on that shoulder with no pain at all.
That's amazing.
And he does every day.
Yeah. That's my normal routine is I shave, I drop down on the floor and knock out 70 push-ups, do my squats, go out for breakfast, and then I hit about 3 miles on the trail. So.
Oh, wow. You're in very good shape.
Yes, he is.
So, yeah, but, you know, I turned 77, so I got to keep working at it. Otherwise, I'll get old.
So. Yeah. And he's not old yet, no. No.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm exactly right at your same age, so.
All right. Well. Then.
Okay. Well, I'll give this doctor a call, Dr. Nelson, a call,
yes,
and talk with him.
Okay.
Yep.
Good luck. Good hope
day.
He does well for you. Sure. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yeah. Thanks very much. I certainly appreciate the help.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. We have more room for your calls. Phone lines are open. Call now. Don't wait till the end of the show. We only have a half hour left. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll be right back after this break. Alive. Wow, those guys. And Barry Gibb, the oldest of the brothers Gibb, still alive and still singing.
Good for him.
Yes, yes. And I think some of the kids of the Bee Gees are together singing, but man, they were popular in the 70s.
Oh, yes,
and
they were.
And before that in Australia and Canada. All right. We have the gallery test coming up at Longevity Medical Clinics, and this is happening at all three of our Longevity Medical Clinic locations for you in Kirkland, Tacoma, and in Linwood. So if you've heard us talk about the gallery test, this is your opportunity, whether you are, we offer it to our longevity patients all the time, but this is primarily for you, the listener, maybe someone who is not a longevity patient. And Dr. Mixon, maybe you can tell us exactly what the gallery test is screening for and why this is so important.
Well, the gallery test is a single blood test that looks for protein markers in your blood that would indicate that any one of 50 different cancers might be present. And so those markers can tell us very early about a cancer that has no symptoms at all yet. So you'd have no reason at all to suspect you have cancer, and yet the test is capable of picking up the protein saying, yep, you do indeed have a pancreatic cancer or an ovarian cancer or a biliary cancer or whatever. And the joy for most of us is we take the test and it says no cancer signals. And that's what we want.
I mean, yes.
I took the test myself a couple of months ago, and I was quite happy to get the sign that said no cancer signals present.
All clear, yes.
All clear, because, you know, I'm 77 years old, and just statistically we're reaching that age where cancers can sneak up and get us.
That's right. And that was good news. Good news for you.
Yes, very good news. But we have had patients where we found cancer signals, and they had no suspicion they had a cancer. Mm. And we were able to find it and find it early before it had caused any symptoms. And that gives them the best chance of a cure. And so that's really what we're after. So, you know, yeah, I hope that you spend $900 and something, almost $1,000 to do the test. But, you know, that's only about $20 per cancer.
Yes.
So $20 per cancer screen is not bad. And we're testing 50 different cancer screens. And if it comes back negative, you say that was money well spent.
Yep, that's
good news. Because
now I've
got the peace of mind. And if it comes back positive, you say, oh, my God, they just saved my life.
Yeah, which is
also
good news.
Let's go fix it before I had any symptoms.
Yes, good news either way.
So, yeah, so it's good or good. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, we don't want you to have a cancer, but by golly, if you got one,
let's get it now.
I want to know about it before it has already spread and caused problems for you.
Absolutely. It's called the Gallery Test, and we offer this a couple times a year for our non-longevity patients. And it's a great opportunity for you to come in and to see the longevity clinic and also to meet some of the doctors and get a feel for what we do at Longevity. You do need an appointment for the Gallery Test, which is next Saturday, September 14th. And the number you need to call, just say, hey, I would like to sign up for the Gallery Test in Kirkland, Linwood, or Tacoma. Just call our number at 1-866-86-YOUNG. That's 866-86-YOUNG, and that's for the Gallery Test, which is next week. We want to make sure we get you plugged in there.
And remember, you do need to call, make an appointment, because we have to schedule people to draw your blood and fill out the forms and so on. And we're not normally open on Saturday.
That's right.
So we're doing this just for you.
Just for you.
So we need to know how many people are coming.
Very good. All right. I will give that number at the end of the show as well again. All right. Let's head to the phones in Seattle. We have Ray on the line with his question. Hi, Ray. Welcome.
Hello, Ray.
Oh, hi. Hey, Dr. Mixon, you were talking about your mom and her AFib.
Yeah.
And how she decided not to get the ablation. So yep. What are the? I'm one of those people. I have a pacemaker. I'm 70. I just started going into persistent AFib. They did a cardioversion on me a few weeks ago, and then about 7 days later, I went into it. I am on diltiazem, apixaban, losartan. I have absolutely no symptoms of my AFib. I wouldn't know it there if it wasn't for the device that they gave me with my pacemaker that transmits every night. Mm-hmm. And so I was on an AFib form, and they were talking. I put out the question about what are the risk of staying in AFib. And one guy said that there's a couple people that do marathons and they're in persistent AFib. And I'm just thought, well, doesn't that damage your heart or something?
Okay.
Wow.
You just triggered two competing emotions in me when you said that. Okay, we'll start with the AFib, I guess. If you're not having symptoms and you're feeling good, there's no reason that you have to have the ablation as long as, you're on something so that you're not going to form a clot and stroke out on us, and you are, so you're being treated appropriately. If I were you and I was doing as well as you seem to be doing, I wouldn't mess with it. I just stay on my medication. The marathon comment is kind of interesting. It's rare for people to be able to exercise that vigorously in atrial fibrillation. What's going on, the atria, the two upper pumping chambers of the heart, their job is to contract a moment or two before the big powerful ventricles do. So they load blood out that's been coming back between heartbeats. It's been coming back from the venous tree. It fills up the atria. The atria contract, load the blood down into the ventricle so the ventricle can pump it out into our system. So the right ventricle pumps it through our lungs to pick up the oxygen and get rid of the carbon dioxide. And then the left ventricle pumps it out to our system. When you lose that atrial kick, you lose about 15% of your heart's pumping efficiency. Now, that's not a big deal in a young person. You know, if you're a 22-year-old athlete, you can lose 15% of your cardiac output, and it's not a big deal. But if you're a 75, 80, 85-year-old who's barely got enough blood being pumped to get by, and you lose 15%, now that can get you into trouble. Okay.
Well, they've done stress tests on me, and I'm upward in the normal. I know you say your normal is not optimal, but I'm up in the range where I'm good.
Yeah.
You know,
you're acceptable. Yeah, you're doing what you want to do, and that's fine.
For my, I don't know if it's for my age or just for my heart, but it's because I've been reading these forums, and there's people who've had multiple ablations, and then there's doctors who are better than other doctors, and they say you should have a doctor who's done thousands of these. And how do you find a doctor who's done thousands of them? I mean, we got Overlake here, we got Evergreen here. I mean, I know. You know, we got lots of clinics in Seattle. You know, I mean.
Yeah, you're alluding to something kind of that has frustrated me for much of my professional life. Okay, when I was a country doctor, I did a fair bit of surgery myself, and when I referred patients out to a specialty surgeon to do a job, I'd go scrub in with him. So I saw how well they worked. I saw what kind of hands he had. I saw what he could and couldn't do. You know, most doctors are pretty darn good. We're good at what we do. But like everything else in life, there are artists and then there are journeymen. Most surgeons are journeymen. They do a good, competent job. There are, however, among us, those artists, those people who just have that magical touch. And that's who we all want to work on us, is that artist. But
right.
how the hell do you know?
Exactly.
We see what their insurance coverage is. We see what their hospital privileges are. That means they've jumped through the hoops. They've got the documents. They've got the technical experience. You know, no one's taken their license away, so they haven't screwed up too often, too badly. But who's the artist? I don't know.
Yes.
When I stopped scrubbing in with specialty surgeons, I stopped being able to see the artist from the journeyman. And so now I have no idea.
Right. Well, and if you call up, you know, I don't get a lot of help from the receptionist.
God, no. What's the receptionist going to say?
Parenthetical break here. Did you guys hear about that doctor down in Florida that took out the liver instead of the spleen for this guy who was 72 years old? He's on vacation with his wife down there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he died from bleeding out, I thought. And this wasn't his first time. I mean,
I know.
But, yeah. You know, well, thank you for your input. I really appreciate it. And I really do appreciate your show. And I will become a client before too long.
Good. I'm reaching an age in which, you know, I start to need some specialty care from time to time. Mm-hmm. And I really feel the same lack you do. How do I tell who the real genius is that I want working on me? I don't know. We're stuck.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Okay. Thank you for the call, sir.
Thank you for that call, Ray. We'll be back with one last phone call for the day. We're going to talk about kidney stones, Dr. Mixon. That call is next in just a moment. Stay right there. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. We'll be back. And when we're on video here in the next few weeks, you'll see Dr. Mixon doing the boot scoop.
Problem is, it's just this little tether for this earpiece so I can hear is not long enough to do any dancing.
We'll figure that out, yes.
I have to get an extension or something so we can dance.
Absolutely. You'll want to see that. Welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. My name is Lynette here with Dr. Jerry Mixon, and we have Joe from Lake Forest Park on the line. Hi, Joe.
Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joe. Hello. I've been to the clinic before. I went there for 13 years and then got cancer of the bladder and had that fixed and then went to a naturopath for a couple of years. But thinking of coming back, and nothing against you guys. I liked you guys.
Yeah.
And we'd love to have you back. But, you know, if you want to come to the...
I liked your North End office.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and if you want to come to the seminar here in November, you know, you'll see some of the new stuff that we're doing that we probably weren't doing when you did it way back when.
Yeah.
So. Well, I probably wouldn't mind doing that. I probably will. But the other, what I called you about, I better get that out of the way. We're short on time. But I have a kidney stone. I got it about a month and a half or a week and a half ago.
Okay.
I don't know if it's caused by being a longevity patient. And then I went to another naturopath when I was treating the cancer,
yeah,
and I think that's under control now. But what I'm really looking at is any of these vitamins and mass, you know, we being a longevity patient, even X, if you ever are X,
sure,
kind of like the Marine Corps.
Simplify forever, my friend.
A lot of vitamins. Would that cause any of this?
It depends on what the stone is made of. Most kidney stones are oxalate stones. And so most of the time vitamins are not going to affect the oxalate formation or stone formation. But, it depends. What most of the time we end up giving you a list of oxalate-containing foods so that you can avoid those in your diet to minimize your risk of getting the stones. And, used to be kidney stones were really hard to break up and get rid of. Now they've got a very fine fiber they can actually thread up through your bladder, up the ureter, right to the stone and blast it with sound waves and break up the stones so that they fall into little pieces and just kind of drain out like sand. So there's really some new technology that has just revolutionized treating kidney stones.
Oh, okay. Well, unfortunately, at the same time this was all going on, I got a new doctor about 6 years ago, and I liked her. And then I just got a new doctor, and my first visit was him with this. I'm full still out there, but it seems all right. But I'm just, I just wondering whether the vitamins or anything would have anything.
Probably not. The biggest factor is the amount of oxalate in your diet. So,
and what are the foods? Is there a couple of key foods? I'm not saying give me the whole list, but is there a couple at the top of that list?
There would be. Hang on one second. I've got a list of oxalate foods here shortly. Let me pull it up.
He's pretty fast on that computer, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
I listen to you every weekend, I know.
I've got about...
I quit being a patient, but I'm still a patient because I'm always on listening to you on the radio.
Love it, yes.
I've got about 6,000 papers in my personal file here. My problem is finding the... How did I index it? I just put in oxalate and I it came right. Okay, beets, rhubarb, almonds, most nuts and beans. Spinach.
I ate a lot of nuts.
Huh. Yeah, and they're high oxalate.
Okay.
So
maybe I should be one of those people in life that doesn't eat a lot of nuts.
You probably should, although, some nuts are more than others. Almonds are very, very high, although generally we think they're the healthiest nuts around, but,
Okay, well, that's pretty much all I need.
All right.
Trying to talk my son into going to your deal on the 14th and get his blood checked. And
that would
I'm
be
trying
sick.
To talk him into actually starting to go to your clinic. He's a little younger. He's 50, but... Younger is better, I think.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes,
I was, I was 49 when I started therapy, and I wish I could get people to come to the clinic in their 30s and 40s instead of their 70s and 80s because we can do so much more for them if we start early.
I know that. What would I call myself, a disciple? I'm not going. I listen often, and I preach often.
Okay, well, that's good. And, you can be a disciple. Just remember, my MD does not stand for minor deity. All right?
I totally get that. I've listened to you. I know you've been shot up and the things you've been through. But
sometimes my wife reminds me that it stands for mentally deficient. But that's only when I do something really stupid.
So, oh, boy. And look at the time, Dr. Mixon. Joe, thank you for your call.
Joe. Appreciate the call.
Very much so.
Bye-bye.
And if you were trying to call in or didn't quite get in today, please call us tomorrow. Next week, we are live in the studio for Leading Edge Medicine, of course, brought to you by Longevity Medical Clinics. And you've heard some of the folks call in that have been patients of Longevity. We'd love to have you come in and meet us and meet the staff, take a couple of our tests that are free for you, the all-body test, the in-body test, and the A1C to find out if you're diabetic and what's going on in your body. You'll have an option to take a set of lab tests as well. There is a cost for that, just a hair under $600 for that, but gives you so much information and gives the doctors information about what is going on and what we can do for you through Longevity Medical Clinics. So very important. I'm going to give you the phone number to call to make an appointment for that health analysis or to make an appointment for the gallery test, which we're doing next week. And if you'll talk to the operator, you could actually schedule both at the same time. Here's our number, 866-86-YOUNG. The number is 866-86-YOUNG. Or go to our website, lmclinic.com. I'm Lynette Morgan. Thank you for tuning in today to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon. We're both back next week. Have a great rest of your weekend and stay cool.